Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
The Bible teaches that the human heart is deceptive. You cannot know your own heart. It's deceitful, desperately wicked. And one of the chief lies that the unredeemed human heart tells its host is you don't need church. You don't need God. You don't need anybody. And in the midst of a culture swept away by that lie, I want to teach on this topic, 10 reasons to stay in church. We're bringing you this lesson by way of preaching that happened in our sanctuary at Christian Apostolic Church. Let's roll the tape.
But the Lord did promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. Amen. The second reason is that the corporate functions of the body all take place in the church. The church is where God ordained His people to meet together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to worship Him, to encourage one another, to edify one another. And it is my joy to call God's people together to worship. Amen. In Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7, the scripture says, come. You get that part? Come. That means let's gather together somewhere. Go from somewhere you were to somewhere you're not. Come. Let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Amen. We have seen God's Spirit break out when we are gathered together in corporate covenant worship. We have seen God's Spirit cause one to speak a word of prophecy, another to speak a word of wisdom, amen, another to speak a word of knowledge, to see one speak a word in tongues and another speak the interpretation of it. We've seen God give to one the gift of faith, to another gifts of healing. We've seen this happen when we gather together in corporate covenant worship, amen. The corporate functions of the body take place in the church. I'm not just talking about why it's important to come to the house, but why it's important to really be part of the church. Amen. And then I want to tell you that the church is a place where we hear anointed preaching. Amen. And preaching is the chief means, human means, by which God dispenses His grace. The Apostle Paul commanded the younger preacher, Timothy, preach the word. Amen. I don't know if you're aware of how many churches they are where everything but the Bible gets preached. Man's opinion, man's philosophies, man's ideas, all kind of nonsense. It boggles my mind to hear a Jeremiah Wright get up and say the things that he says. And then he'll say, that's in the Bible, but yet he never showed us where it was in the Bible. We are not to preach men's ideas. We are to preach the Word of God. And the Bible says that God chose by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Amen. And then I want to tell you that another reason for you to stay in the church is that the church is a community where you have accountability partners. Chief among your accountability partners is your pastor. The scripture explicitly says that the pastor is going to have to give an account for you to God. Amen. And so it's important for you to make it a joy for me to give account for you. Amen. If you make it to where I have to hang my head in shame for how you lived your life when I have to give account for you, that is not going to be profitable for you. Amen. But when you are a faithful saint of God, faithful in your worship, faithful in your prayers, faithful in your Bible study, faithful in your attendance to the community of faith. When you are faithful to God, it makes it easy for me to give account of you to God. And that is profitable for you, the scripture says. And then finally, I want to tell you not only that, not only does the pastor, amen, hold you accountable, but you help hold him accountable. Amen. Brother Edwin Harper, in his book about his life that Whitestone Publishing is in the process of printing, he talks about how that the preacher's house is a glass house. Amen. There's an old saying that says, don't throw stones when you live in a glass house. And I appreciate the fact that because of you, we have to be careful. Because while we're holding you accountable, you are holding us accountable. And I want to say thank you to my family. My children never asked to be born into a preacher's home, but they have graciously accepted that God ordained them to be in the home of a preacher. And the initials PK for preacher's kid have unfortunately in some families and in some churches have been a designation that meant rebellious, wicked, mean, slothful. And I am thankful for my children that have caused the designation of preacher's kid to be one of honor and one that they strive to live up to with dignity and in holiness. Amen. And so, continuing on, one of the reasons to be part of the church is that the scripture tells us that in spite of the fact that we're just ordinary people, he will use us to do extraordinary things. God builds the world's greatest leadership team and structure out of ordinary people in the church. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:26 that few of us are wise, are mighty, are noble by the world's standards, but yet we draw our board of elders from those who are part of the local church. Corporations can hire from around the world. You could have a corporation in Hong Kong that hires an executive from America, or vice versa. But in the church, our Sunday school teachers come from our local assembly. Our board of elders comes from our local assembly. Amen. God promotes from within. Can you say amen? Praise God. And just recently in this pulpit, Sister Crystal Johnston said that she remembered when Adina was barely old enough to talk, and yet she spoke like a little lawyer. And she was at camp, and someone was singing under the anointing at camp. And Adina crawled up in Sister Crystal Johnston's lap and said, one day I'm going to get up there and sing. I'm going to get up there and sing like that. She had something implanted in her heart from a young age that said, I can do something for God. I can be someone for God. There's a path of advancement to a place where one day I can stand and the anointing of God will come upon me and God will use me to be a blessing to someone else. Folks, I want you to know that path of advancement is available to each and every one of us. Amen. There is no limitation in the church. There is no narrow gate that only the privileged few get to do something for God. Folks, there is not anything stopping any one of you from witnessing to someone and praying them through to the Holy Ghost in the middle of a Walmart. There's not anything in the kingdom stopping any one of you from being a powerful missionary or a powerful evangelist or an anointed singer or a great soul winner. Every one of us has a wide open. There is no glass ceiling in the church. Amen. It doesn't matter whether you're poor or rich or black or white or male or female or young or old. Every one of us has a path for advancement to do great things and be someone great for God in His kingdom. Amen. Praise God. Can you say amen? Amen. And I want to tell you that another reason for being in the church is that life in the church embraces all of life. What an adventure. Where else on earth could you walk in and go from feeling so drained at work and wondering how you could put one foot in front of another to being so on fire and so enthused that you run around the church? What other organization could you go from feeling so discouraged about your lot in life and then suddenly have a man of God point his finger and say, before next week is out, you're going to win a soul? And it come true. Where else can that happen but the church? Right. Amen. Folks, I know you may think you know what's going to happen tonight and tomorrow, but you really don't know. And there we sat in the emergency room, and Sister Sandy, she's the corporate grandma for the church, and with classic wisdom, she said to me, well, a few minutes ago you thought you were going to be in bed, but here you are in the emergency room. And she said, it's always an adventure, isn't it? You never know what's going to happen. Truer words were never spoken. I never knew when I was growing up in Louisiana that one day the phone would ring and it would be a call inviting me to preach for the great Billy Cole in Charleston, West Virginia. I never knew that when I got there, that church would adopt me, a young, skinny, sick young man who had just fought off a depression and with skin stretched over bone, that they would take me in like their own, and that I would never leave, and that that was where I would find my wife. If you'd have asked me as a young man, you think one day you'll be in West Virginia? I would have said to you, do you mean Western Virginia? Some of our younger board of elders have confessed that they believe it is in their future to be a missionary. Praise God. Folks, I want to tell you the church is an organic institution. This is literally a living organism. And this organism is growing and expanding. And because of that, there are new opportunities right and left. It is the will of God that if the church functions properly, that some of this board of elders will eventually go out from here and be church planters. Amen. The church, life in the church embraces all of life. You get to share the joy of parents and then go home and not have to change the diapers. But then you get to help carry the burden, whether it's cancer or the death of a child or the death of a spouse. You get to help celebrate at weddings and give comfort in funerals. There is an inevitable unpredictability that accompanies life in the church. I'm almost through to the end. The rewards in this life in the church are marvelous. You get to belong to an organization where you can truly be loved for who you are. And I want to tell you that as someone who grew up in a church where the parents were precious, precious saints of God, but their children were demons, hell on earth. And as I grew up in that atmosphere, and I was a child of poor parents, and we were mocked and taunted and ridiculed by the children of the rich saints, I want to tell you that it is not the will of God for that kind of thing to ever happen in the church. And the Bible has firm words to say that let us know that in the church, regardless of whether you are poor or rich, all of us have reason to rejoice, and all of us are to view one another as equals. And you need to ingrain that into your children. And I want to say that I am so thankful. I am so thankful for the children of this church that they don't look down on the poor that can't quite dress in the cool clothes. And they don't make fun of those with a little slower IQ. They love them. I want to brag on our are ACA students. They are a cohesive family, no matter the IQ or the income level or the status of life. They love one another as equals. The rewards of life in the church. When the church is done right, when we live right, the rewards in this life are marvelous. You get to feel loved and appreciated and needed and trusted and admired. And you get to be an instrument that God has used in the spiritual progress of His people. And finally, and I'm not sure if I'm on 10 reasons or not, but I'm closing. Amen. The church is the only institution that's going up in the rapture. He's not coming back for buildings. He's not coming back for cars or houses or money. He's coming back for people. And the church is the only institution that has the promise of the rapture. I want to close with this. There is an amazing bit of doctrine and prophecy hidden away in a statement by James in Acts chapter 15. And I want to say a public thank you to Bishop Edwin Harper, who showed this to me. I had read this before and I had missed it. But in Acts chapter 15, when Paul and Barnabas had returned to the apostles in Jerusalem to have a church council on whether or not Gentiles needed to be physically circumcised in order to be saved. And the bigger question behind that was, do Gentiles need to become Jews to be saved? Do they need to obey all of the many laws of the Jewish covenant under Moses? And after a lot of discussion and a lot of testimony and a lot of prayer, finally everybody through the Holy Ghost began to arrive at a unity. And James finally spoke up after Paul and Barnabas and after testimonies and after Simon Peter had spoken. Everybody finally quieted down and James summed it all up. I want to tell you, there's something powerful about a Holy Ghost anointed business meeting where all the different problems and all the different angles are discussed and prayer is made, and then finally an anointing comes on someone in the church, and with the wisdom from above they sum it all up and they help everybody to be on the same page. God used James to do this. But I want to show you how the anointing of the Holy Ghost put a word of prophecy in his mouth as he did this. Acts chapter 15 and verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Saul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon," that's referring to Simon Peter, "Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles." Notice this. "To take out of them a people for his name. And to this," I want you to notice the word "this" is a pronoun. What is this referring to? It's referring to God taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this." Now this is amazing to me. He is now quoting from the Old Testament. And he's quoting, and we see the pronoun "this" in his quotation. And through the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he tells us clearly what the pronoun "this" in the Old Testament quotation refers to. It refers to taking out of the Gentiles a people for his name. This is an action that God does. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, "That's why I'm in the church." Watch this. "And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return." Somebody says, you believe in a pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib rapture. Well, I'm going to tell you that you can belong to this church and believe different from me on that. I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. If you believe in a mid-tribulational rapture, you can be a member here and we can be saved and go to heaven together. If you believe in a post-tribulational rapture and I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, I can love you, you can love me, we can belong to the church together and we can go to heaven together. Eventually, one of us will be proven wrong, but hopefully both of us will go up in the rapture whenever it happens. T.F. Tenney said it this way. They asked him if he was pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. He said, I'm pan-trib. I believe it's all going to pan out in the end. They said, don't you want to know who's going to be taken up with Jesus first? And he said, well, I'll tell you this. I want the first train out of here. But he said, I know who's going to be on that train. Those who are going to be taken up with Jesus first are those who are taken up with Jesus now. In other words, you live for Him with all your heart. Serve Him as part of the church. But notice this about the coming of the Lord. The coming of the Lord is said to occur after taking out of the Gentiles a people for His name. Now some, believing in the mid-trib and post-trib rapture, believe that the Gentile church is going to be on the earth all throughout the tribulational period, which would indicate that all during the tribulational period, when the Lord is coming in judgment, Yom Yahweh, that there's still Gentiles being taken out for His name. Now I want you to think about the order of events. What's portrayed here prophetically is a period during which He's taking out of the Gentiles a people for His name, and then that is concluded, and then after this I will return. Watch this. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof and will set it up. Notice this, that the residue of men. What does residue mean? Those left behind. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Now somebody said, why doesn't the Scripture make it more plain? Well, I want to mention to you one possibility. Are you aware there are some people that the only way they're willing to live for God is because they believe in a pre-trib rapture? There are other people that if they believed in a pre-trib rapture, they would backslide. The only way they're willing to live for God is because they believe it's going to be a post-trib rapture. Now you say, well, I don't understand how they see it that way. Well, I don't either, but folks, there are people that are that way. They live for God strong because they're sure it's going to be a post-trib rapture. There's other people that live for God strong because they're sure it's going to be a pre-trib rapture. I have a feeling that God orchestrated His Word just the way He did to get the most people saved. But when I study it, I believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. Somebody said, but I can show you a scripture in Revelation where it talks about those that were beheaded during the tribulation time, and it says, they shall live, and that's language for a rapture. I agree with you. Jesus in John chapter 5 used the words shall live to refer to a resurrection. And they say, well, doesn't that prove to you a post-trib rapture? It proves to me a post-trib phase of rapturing. Now, I'm not trying to blow anybody's mind here, but the Bible tells us that the resurrection of Jesus, He was the first fruits of the resurrection from the dead. And in Matthew's gospel, it tells us that Old Testament Jewish saints got a resurrection from the dead at the time of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Now in Revelation, it tells us about beheaded tribulation saints who are going to get a resurrection from the dead somewhere near the end or at the end of the tribulation period. And the scripture says at that time that this is the first resurrection. And it says the rest of the dead live not until after the 1,000 years. That's what we call the general resurrection, where both wicked and righteous are raised. And the righteous there refers to those that died serving the Lord during the 1,000 years. But if the martyred tribulation saints, if that's the first resurrection, then what was that resurrection that took place with those Old Testament saints back there? Pre-first resurrection? Is there such a thing as pre-first? Can you be before the first? I want to tell you that the first resurrection happens in phases. The first phase of it was Jesus' resurrection and the Jews that were resurrected from the Old Testament saints. The second phase of the first resurrection is the Gentile bride. And the third phase of the first resurrection is the martyred tribulation saints. I see at least three phases in the first resurrection. And only after the third phase is completed does it conclude the first resurrection. The first resurrection started with Jesus, and it goes all the way till right at the end of the tribulation. But that doesn't in any way cause me to not believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. So when I look at the Lord Jesus saying, "Pray that ye be accounted worthy to escape," and I read those words that I read for you in my text in Thessalonians, where he said of them that they will not be able to escape, it leads me to believe that the Lord is going to rapture his church so that we can escape all of the terrible things that will happen on the earth during the tribulation period. I want to encourage you folks, that radio frequency identification chip, it may or may not be the mark of the beast, but it's too close in my book. Now you got to make your own choice, but I'm telling you, as for me and my house, I will never take a radio frequency identification chip into my skin. There's somebody said, "Well, that's not the mark of the beast." Well, it's a little bit too close for comfort for me. Yeah. And it can be something to where they will say to you, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir, you can't buy those groceries. You don't have a chip." And the Bible says of the mark of the beast that you won't be able to buy or sell without it. Years ago, they testified about a woman that they saw her in the Walmart just a few feet ahead of them. She paid for her groceries by waving her hand. That's been several years ago. And they've only done more testing with it since then. They're already putting it in animals. And people have already had it implanted into them. There are people that when they walk up to their house, the door recognizes them through radio frequencies from a chip in their hand, and the door opens for them. Not me. Not me. And the Lord has called me as the pastor and the teacher and these elders as teachers in this church. The scripture says that the fivefold ministry is given for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Somebody said, "It's the preacher's job." No, it's all of our jobs. God expects you to do great things for Him in His kingdom. Oh, me? I'm just supposed to work a job and chip a little bit of money in the plate. No. You're to be a soul winner. You're to be using the gifts of the Spirit. You are to be powerful in the kingdom of God. It's not our job to do it for you. It's our job to help you get ready to do it. For the equipping of the saints. For the work of the ministry. You might be here tonight saying, "Pastor Joseph, you have portrayed a high calling that is more than I anticipated and more than I understood. And I don't feel ready for that." I want to tell you the same thing the Apostle Paul said of himself. He said, "I press onward toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You've got to press forward to a higher place in God than you have right now.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.